Good morning. It's Wednesday, August 21st. I'm Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. On today's show, why tax dollars from Missouri are paying for anti-abortion efforts outside the state. A controversial Florida congressman survives a revenge primary. And new moves to ban phones in schools. But first, last night, Democrats brought out two of their most popular figures, the Obamas.
America, hope is making a comeback.
Michelle Obama and the former president both got huge responses in their hometown of Chicago as they made their case for Kamala Harris. There was also respectful praise for Obama's former VP, President Biden, and of course, plenty of criticism of former President Trump.
We do not need four more years of bluster and bumbling and chaos. We have seen that movie before, and we all know that the sequel is usually worse. America's ready for a new chapter. America's ready for a better story. We are ready for a President Kamala Harris.
My colleague Gideon Resnick is at the DNC, and he's joining me now. Hi, Gideon.
Hey, Shamita.
So I'm hearing some people comparing this year's convention to the first Obama convention in terms of energy and excitement. And of course, this year is exceptional in a lot of ways. Democrats are rallying around a candidate that basically launched her presidential bid about a month ago. What are you gathering from talking to people there?
Yeah, Shamita, that's definitely right. There is definitely a lot of pent-up energy that is getting released right now. I talked to Eugene Daniels yesterday ahead of the speeches from the Obamas. He is a White House correspondent for Politico, and he's been covering Harris for a while. And he told me that the Harris campaign doesn't necessarily want to be drawing these comparisons, though.
I mean, these are the two most popular Democrats in the party, in the country, in the world, right? I think the campaign is always not trying to be compared to anybody else because it kind of raises the bar, right? Vice President Harris has continued to tell people that they are underdogs, they should run as underdogs. And so being told it's the 08 campaign all over again or the 08 convention all over again is not something they're looking to engage in.
But Shamita, Eugene also did say that he talked to some people who have been coming to conventions since the 70s and 80s, and they are saying they haven't seen anything like this other than in 2008.
And the way someone described it to me was that both the base is excited and moderates and independents are excited. And that's something that isn't always happening with the Democratic Party. So it is a convention that is built on the idea that all of a sudden, Democrats feel like they have a real chance to win in November.
So, Gideon, given all of that, how is this impacting the strategy for the Harris campaign?
Yeah, it's a great question and one I think everyone's asking. I did ask Eugene that as well, and he said the Biden campaign at one point, while they were making their case to Senate Democrats for him to stay in the presidential race, were saying, you know, he is still competitive in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, that blue wall that gets talked about all the time that Democrats rely upon to win presidential elections. But that also means that was the only path, and it was a narrow one. Now, Eugene said this new campaign has changed that.
Now you have a campaign and a party that believes that Arizona and Nevada are back in play, that Georgia's back in play, that North Carolina is more interesting. There might be playing in Florida. And what you see in the Sun Belt and Southern states is a coalition and electorate that's blacker, browner, younger, right? That's what they're looking at. And those are the kind of people that she can probably get that Biden could not, right? The kinds of ads that they can run, the kinds of people who might be interested in a Vice President Harris being president as opposed to bringing back President Biden, that's a different list.
Mm. And in terms of the different approach we're seeing, there has been a lot written about how the party is trying to reach younger and more diverse voters. There was a content creator who spoke at the DNC on Monday. Hundreds more of these people who make stuff on TikTok and YouTube or wherever were credentialed at the convention. What else are you seeing in this vein?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really visible presence. There was a blue carpet, you know, like a red one, laid out for content creators in the arena to make content, videos, and the like. Outside of the convention, the Harris campaign has booked something like $200 million in digital ads, the largest in presidential campaign history. They tout this young staff that run her TikTok account. Now, the Trump campaign, too, has made a big play for younger voters on social media. The former president has talked to some young influencers as well. You know, for the Harris campaign, though, this is a play for the streaming era, as it were, particularly with those ad buys. And clearly, as Eugene mentioned, this campaign does think that it can get more people out there and involved that maybe before were thinking about not participating.
All right, Gideon Resnick, thanks so much for checking in.
Of course. Thank you.
Let's turn now to a story about one of the most consequential issues this election, abortion. Every year, Missouri provides millions of dollars in tax credits to anti-abortion groups. One of them is called Coalition Life. It's a nonprofit that sets people up outside clinics that provide abortions to try to talk to patients and change their minds. Ever since Roe v. Wade was overturned 2 years ago, abortion has been effectively illegal in Missouri, so not much work for this group to do. But ProPublica reports the anti-abortion group is now taking its mission and Missouri taxpayers' money to other states.
Coalition Life says that it has adapted by sending their staff members to abortion clinics in Illinois and in Kansas, where abortion is still legal. And so they actually have paid staff members who are outside of these clinics.
ProPublica reporter Jeremy Kohler investigated how Coalition Life is dramatically increasing its budget and footprint by taking full advantage of the state's tax laws.
Under the Missouri tax credit, donations that are made to this group and several other pregnancy resource centers in Missouri can get a 70% tax credit. So in other words, if someone gives this group $1,000, they would get a $700 tax credit from the state of Missouri. And so this has allowed them to market this tax credit and to get much larger donations than they would have before.
When ProPublica did the math, it found that Missouri taxpayers are on the hook for nearly $20 million a year. That makes Missouri a top state in terms of how much public money goes to anti-abortion groups. Kohler spoke to two Missouri lawmakers who were in office when the expanded tax credits were passed, a Democrat who voted against it and a Republican who voted for it. Both disliked the idea of Missouri money being spent out of state.
Both of them kind of had a similar comment, which was, this was not how we envisioned the money was going to be spent, the subsidies were going to be spent in Missouri. We envisioned that this was going to help these groups, you know, provide diapers and aid and counseling and support in Missouri, you know, for people who would be forced to carry babies to term in Missouri and dealing with those consequences. We did not expect that they would be literally in other states fighting abortion in states where abortion was legal.
Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Nebraska, and North Dakota have also introduced tax credits for donations to pregnancy centers in the last 2 years. And other states are considering it. As for Missouri, Coalition Life may have to pivot again soon. This November, Missouri is one of several states where residents will vote on protecting abortion rights. Before we let you go, here are some other stories being featured in the Apple News app. Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz is the winner of a Florida primary that was something of a grudge match by proxy. Gaetz was an enemy of former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and worked hard to kick him out of the job last year. In this race, a McCarthy-aligned group poured $3 million into attacking Gaetz, but he still managed to win by a large margin. McCarthy had his sights on sinking eight Republican rivals in primaries. Only one lost, Virginia Congressman Bob Good, earlier this summer. Let's turn from politics to policy and a big idea around banning phones in public schools. New York Magazine talks to Governor Kathy Hochul, who's considering a statewide ban. A few places in New York State have done this on their own, saying it helps kids concentrate and reduces bullying. Hochul's been meeting with superintendents, teachers, and union officials in the hopes of getting a law passed as early as next year.
This would follow similar bans in Florida, the first state to do it, along with LA County, Louisiana, Indiana, and South Carolina. If New York and other states considering phone bans all pass them, it would mean about a quarter of American kids would live in places where schools restrict phones. And finally, Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck are divorcing after 2 years of marriage. Celebrity relationships come and go. The Washington Post looks into why this one got so much more attention than most as they drifted together and apart over the years. When they originally got together, more than 20 years ago, the world got its first big celebrity portmanteau, Bennifer. They called off their 2003 wedding days before it was supposed to happen. So when they got back together again in 2021, there was an explosion of nostalgic coverage. People had so many different ways to relate to this connection. It was hope for romance during the pandemic. It was a second chance with the one who got away. It was early 2000s culture roaring back, along with low-rise pants and trucker hats. But alas, it was short-lived. Bennifer is no more. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the News app right now, we've got a narrated article coming up next. Town & Country investigates programs that promise to help troubled teens. And it finds that these expensive outdoor experiences face serious accusations of abuse. If you're listening in the podcasts app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And I'll be back with the news tomorrow.